the number one hit music station. More music, more variety. Welcome to The Alternative. Playing today's new country. Oh, sorry, I was just practicing. I'm Matt from Matt Fogarty Voiceovers. I know you want to listen to your podcast, so I'm going to keep this super brief. If you're a program director and you're looking for a fresh sound on your station, hit me up. I'll do a free, no-obligation sample for you, and you can get a really good sense for how I'll sound on your station. Get in touch at mattfogartyvo.com. I'm seriously sitting by my computer hitting refresh right now. Email me. Do it.
Hey, you guys. It's Carly. I'm not at work because I'm drunk. No, wait. I'm drunk because I'm not at work. Yeah, it's the end of the world. And, like, at first, I didn't believe it. But now, I'm starting to. And listen, friends, there is no better excuse to get f***ed up than the end of the world. My AA sponsor says I look for excuses.
Tonight. This is the Sound Off Podcast with Matt Kundel. Broadcast talk in sound off mode.
Live to a hard drive, downloaded to your Apple or Android device, or streamed from SoundCloud or Stitcher. Or maybe this whole thing was emailed to you. This week, it's 10 years of X92.9 in Calgary. Christian Hall is a national program manager at Harvard Broadcasting and program director of X92.9. We're going to call him up, we're going to interrupt his lunch, and talk to him about what makes that station so appealing to millennials. This week's show is brought to you by PromoSuite. For over 25 years, you've known PromoSuite as radio's original promotions management system, helping promotions teams and programmers manage their contest winners, liners, sales requests, remotes, prize fulfillment, and much more. Today, over 2,500 radio stations across the United States and Canada use PromoSuite Next to control the chaos, reduce paper, and reclaim the time you really want to spend creating great campaign concepts. To learn more, go to promosuite.com/soundoff.
The Sound Off Podcast with Matt Kundel. Here at X, we're pretty stoked to be celebrating our 10th anniversary as Calgary's alternative. And whether you've been with us from the start or since, I don't know, like Tuesday, we're about to make this year a special one. So stick around for all the details as X92.9 is celebrating 10 years as Calgary's alternative. X92.9.
Christian Hall left Classic Rock Q107 in Calgary in 2006 and crossed the street to launch X92.9, the alternative station, with a 2007 New Year's party featuring Hot Hot Heat. The station put personalities on the air a week later and started a no Nickelback guarantee, and that lasted about 2.5-3 years before a syndicated show ruined all that fun. The station has been sustaining a slow and steady growth because Calgary's a young city, and they serve their audience really well with a core brand promise of fun promotions and great alternative music. And when I say fun promotions, I mean like the end of the world party.
The Mayan prediction of the end time striking on the 21st day of the 12th month of the 2012 year has caused a panic worldwide. And for good reason. Mayans were expert mathematicians who never made mistakes, except for how to defeat the Spanish. Mayan Who's Who is brought to you by the Back Alley. Come join us tonight for the end of the world party.
92.9.
Okay. So that Mayan December 2012 end of the world thing never happened. But X92.9 had one kick-ass party. Christian Hall joins me from X92.9 World Headquarters in Calgary. So how long does it take to build a successful radio station?
Oh, man. That's a good first question. I think it really kind of matters on the environment in which you're planning yourself into. If we're going to talk about, X right out of the gate, Calgary was just primed and ready for an alternative station. The market had just a perennial all-service rock station in CJ92 that kind of dabbled in alternative, but still its bread and butter was those mainstream rock acts. And then the rest of the rock landscape was all leaning towards the gold side of the fence. So in X's case, Calgary's a very young city. I think the most recent census shows that Calgary is the youngest, major market in the country with an average age of around 35. So when you're an alternative station that at its core aims at 25 to 44 year olds, it was just perfect. It was a great opportunity for an alternative station to launch here. For other markets, it's tough. You just can't go and take a station and just plop it there and hope for instant success. That's why so many companies out there are doing all this research and that to try and find what the hole is. And I think we've reached a saturation point with our major markets, especially, where there just really isn't any holes left, and why you're not seeing a new station turn up in a lot of markets, or for that one matter, the ones that do happen to launch in the most recent few years just haven't had the success as some of us who launched maybe 8, 9, 10 years ago when there were still holes in the market.
Well, it doesn't appear there's too many music holes available in those markets, like you said. I think you have to do it now with social media or personalities and build it around that.
Or you just invent a new format based on the music that's already out there, right? Like, we're a long, long way from Jack being, the last, big invented format. Alternative certainly isn't younger than the classic hit phenomenon. And now you've got the classic hits splintering off into like 5 different versions of classic hits. But at its core, classic hits is really the last sort of new format to come out in the last couple of decades.
And that came out in 2002.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aside from the entire staff at CJ92, was there anybody else in Calgary who said alternative would not work?
I certainly didn't hear from any of them. I don't think anyone really thought that we would have a tough go of it, right? We're in a market that's 1 million people. It's certainly a niche format that doesn't strive to be the number 1, 2, or 3 station in the market, but you can sure as hell be the number 1, 2, or 3 station in a lot of the major demos. And, anyone who knows anything about radio, that's what matters.
What was your reaction to the first ratings book?
It was super positive. We came out of the gate with, I don't even remember the exact number, but I know we were over a 3 share. And for a first book, that was awesome. And 10 years later, we've consistently floated around the mid to high 4 level share. So to know that we were already like 65% of the way there after our first, what would have been, let's see, we launched in January. There would have been a book 6 weeks later. And then we got that book in June. So less than 6 months later, we'd already culled what turns out to be the first 2/3 of our audience that we've grown upon since.
Yeah, it was June of 2007 that you got that first ratings book. And I had that down for a trivia question was, do you remember what the share, what the adult 12 plus share number was?
No, if I had a guess, I'd say like a 3.3 or a 3.4.
It was a 3.9.
3.9, oh wow.
You see, you've done even better than you thought you could.
I'm constantly undercutting our expectations here. It's a trick every PD in the world should have.
Do you remember how long it took before you were level with your rock competitor, CJ92?
Oh, it definitely took a while. CJ has always been a very formidable opponent. And I was fortunate enough to compete against it in my job prior to X when I had launched Q107 just 2 years prior to launching X. So I spent 2 years trying to hit him on the high end, and then I came over to X and started hitting him on the low end. So I know it was definitely during the PPM days, and something had to go terribly wrong for them, because we've always looked at CJ as if we can live near CJ, that'd be great, because they're much more of a full service, wider ranging rock station that are going to gather a bigger audience than we will on the specialty sense. But the day we passed them, I couldn't tell you. I don't think it's that long ago. Maybe 2 years ago. I couldn't even tell you. You got to tell me.
Yeah, actually, I sort of said before you drew level with them was really the question. But it really sort of, hit around 2009, 2010. You began to become rather level with them. Mm-hmm. And that sort of leads me into the next question, for today. Is there really a difference between rock and alternative?
I think so. I think rock is definitely having a tough go of it right now, defining who they are, because I don't think they have that many superstars left. Their superstar bands are certainly not bands that they own themselves, right? I'll speak to CJ, one of their buses will probably drive by in the next 5 minutes while we're talking, and it'll have, Nirvana, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Foo Fighters, I think Green Day and Offspring on the side. And those all sound like the Mount Rushmore of bread and butter bands that alternative was born on. And these certainly are still really important ingredients towards alternative. But if you look at the new music that's coming up on alternative, it couldn't be further away from those grassroots bands that sort of gave birth to the format 20 plus years ago. And for me, that's super exciting, because alternative's supposed to mutate, and we're supposed to constantly be looking for the next new sound. If we just lived and died by getting a Chili Peppers record every couple of years, we would have been dead a long time ago. And I think that's where mainstream rock has its biggest concern, is where is the new bands for mainstream rock that fits with the core DNA of the format? And without drifting too far away from that, there's just not a lot of them out there. Like, is Volbeat really the band that's the future of the format? I hope not, for their sake.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think that there's just not as many bands that are going to mesh with, like, July Talk is not going to mesh with Buck Cherry very well.
No, but I'll give credit to the stations that are doing that. They exist. You know, CJ certainly does that here. They've embraced more of the alternative acts, like, especially on the CanCon front, but like July Talk, and I've heard Mother and Metric, and the Arkells are popping up on mainstream. And we're certainly employing that with our station out in Regina with 104.9 The Wolf. And it's a tricky balancing act, but it's certainly not an impossible one. And your goal is to try and make as many people happy most of the time. You can't make all the people happy all the time. If that's the case, you're going to be the best two-share station in the city.
Yeah, and I don't think there's another radio station in the country that has sort of typified the struggle of trying to find that great spot other than the station you and I both programmed, Power 97 in Winnipeg.
Yeah, absolutely. We broke bread and tipped a few at the wake of that station a few years ago, and I was one of the first people to be fist pumping when I heard that Chorus was sort of bold enough, I guess, to admit their mistake and bring the station back, because every market should have a mainstream rock station, and I think Chorus should consider themselves incredibly lucky that no one else had come in and tried to fill that spot in their absence. And I think their first book already came out, and they're already headed back to the right direction. So I'm always going to cheer for the stations I've worked for, even when they're in the same market as me. I love seeing Q do great in Calgary, and I certainly want to see Power 97 do well in Winnipeg, because without that place, I'm probably not on the phone with you right now.
Yeah, and I'm not on the phone with you either. That's actually their best book in 3.5 years.
It's great. You know, there's definitely still an appetite for rock. And it's just finding, what the best meal is you're going to serve up every day.
And I'm always sad when a station goes away, because it really sort of speaks to the branding that's gone on for 10, 12, 15 years before that. If you have strong branding, and there was a lot of great radio made on that station in the interim, you can't get rid of a station that easily.
No, it's certainly not. And, it's easy to sort of play armchair quarterback here from the outside and wonder, what exactly was the decision process to make that big change a few years ago, and for that matter, what made them decide to go back to Power. But I love seeing it back on the air. I love, hearing that, there's rock music once again being played in the market, and I would love it even more to see that station become like a top five station, or even a top three station like it once was not too long ago.
Well, judging by the last book, it is it's well on its way to doing that again.
Yeah, I wish them all the best. I don't even have a horse in that race, so they could, with no Harvard stations in the market, it's easy to cheer for the competition.
So you've done 10 years at X92.9. Lots of bands have gone through the playlist and through the radio station. What's the one band that you can point to and say, yeah, we put that one on the map?
Oh, man. That's tough, because I think all stations think that they take credit for being the ones that help them the most. I can tell you the bands that we've got such great relationships with, and we just know that when they tell us, when they come here, they play to larger crowds than anywhere else, and we know we were one of the first stations to play them, so we certainly had a hand in that. In the last couple of years, I think it's easy to say that that honor sort of falls upon the Arkells and July Talk. They're two bands that, whether or not we were the first to break them anywhere in the nation, and that we certainly know that when it comes to Calgary, that their level of success here is as big and in some cases larger. I remember talking with Max when he was here through town with the Arkells on the last tour, and the Calgary show was the biggest show next to Cops Coliseum. So, you know, that's the hometown, and that's obviously drawing from millions of people from the whole, you know, Greater Toronto area and Hamilton area and Southwestern Ontario. So to know that their second biggest stop on their stop across the country is here in Calgary, it's awesome to know that you had a hand in that. And when you hear your competition start playing them too, you can't take that personally. You have to realize, like, this is great for the band because now they're expanding their audience, and that's exactly why they're playing to 4,000 to 5,000 people instead of 2,000 to 3,000 people. You know, you're helping these bands out, not selfishly for your own, you know, radio station gain. Is that, you know, when you see them take off and explode, it's great to know that you took a piece of that.
We've identified that millennials really occupy the whole 18 to 34 demographic. They have to be programmed to differently. So what are some of the things that you do that you program completely differently than every other radio station?
Well, you know, for us as a station that targets like 25, you know, 44, you know, it's not to say that 18, 24 isn't important to us, but at the end of the day, our core is 25, 44. And this is the first year, really, depending on whose definition you look at, that millennials take up more of 25-44 than Generation X. So certainly there's been some changes around here in how we approach that audience. And a lot of the ways is just starting to learn the audience itself and how they like to be rewarded, whether it's promotionally or what drives them. And, you know, the one thing I keep, you know, seeing and experiencing, because I've got a lot of millennials working for me, is that I'm a Gen Xer, and I live to work, and I look at a millennial, and I see them as they work to live. Everything that they do in the job sense is to afford them the lifestyle that lives sort of in the digital space, right? What they project to the world is funded by what they do for a living, and that work-life balance is so super important, and that sort of, you know, work freedom where they're not latched to a desk on a certain time schedule and stuff is far more important than things like a financial reward. So for us, we have to sort of translate that into the radio station sense as well. And I think we found that we get far more engagement out of our audience on a promotional level when we're talking about rewarding them with experiences over, say, cash. You know, cash is king with older audiences and that, but we've found, like, whether it's measuring our social engagement or just through tuning occasions, if we can offer them something that hits their life experience buttons over their financial reward buttons, we're right in their sweet spot. And their way for music discovery is completely different than anybody else's too. We can't be arrogant enough to think like their only place for music discovery is on the radio. They have so many other ways. Radio is certainly a part of it, and we certainly try and do our job to be their number one place for music discovery, but we're never arrogant enough to think, like, we can wait a couple of weeks on this song because who else is going to play it? Well, maybe in the radio sense, but they may have already heard that record 6 weeks before we've heard it because they heard it, whether it was through one of their online services, or whether they heard it through a soundtrack, or, you know, a video game, or one of the billions of other ways out there that music is spreading itself to a larger audience. That arrogance of, you know, if you don't hear it on the radio, you don't hear it at all, that died a long time ago.
You've got a whole new generation of jocks sort of coming on because you've had the departure of Tyler and Lynch and a lot of turnover. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing you don't have too much trouble attracting millennials to your brand to work for you.
No, it's a great luxury, and it's certainly one that doesn't keep me up at night. Like, look, no one loves to lose great talent, and Lynch and Tyler are amazing talent. They've been a key success of this radio station the past few years as the morning team, and the few years before that when Tyler was driving, and frankly, in Lynch's case, the decade of this radio station, he's one of the few remaining original staff members left, and certainly the last original on-air team. But when an opportunity like The Peak came along for them, and it became abundantly clear that this thing was going to happen, there was never like a panic of what the station's going to do, because for what you just hit on, you know, it's great having a station that targets young people, because every jock out of school, and not even out of school, every jock wants to work at a station that they ultimately would listen to in their spare time. You know, and the number one thing you have to teach a young jock is like, look, you're not going to be granted that luxury. If your first job is playing music that you would never have listened to in your life, then go and do the best job you can at that and get the hours you need, and then start working towards other opportunities. So with only half a dozen, you know, pure alternatives in the country, when any one of us have job openings, we all get inundated with demos. And I can't speak for Edge and Sonic and Zone and Live and the other pure alts that are out there, but with X's history of talent that's come out of this radio station, the amount of demos and people I get when a job comes available is I don't know, what's a bigger word than very high? It's huge. And that just goes on top of the people that just send me demos on a monthly basis, just looking for feedback. And so you're always sort of culling that list of plan Bs for any of the talent on this radio station, because I fully expect everyone here to eventually move on to something bigger. So my philosophy is always be prepared for anybody to leave and be able to act quickly on it.
What do you look for in a demo? I got a demo yesterday and it said, here's a scope of everything I do, but I would prefer to have a whole show. What do you prefer?
I don't mind the greatest hits demos. The greatest hits demos for me gives me a great idea of what this person thinks they do best. And then if any of that demo for me is interesting, then I immediately follow up with that person and say, hey, thanks for your greatest hits. I'd like a whole show. And then I see what they consistently do over the course of a 4, 5, or 6 hour shift. And what I'm looking for in a demo is I'm looking for really that those 5 to 10 seconds that show me what I think is the best character trait that this personality has. And sometimes it's not necessarily the same matchup as what the jocks think is their best break. I can remember Greg Beharrell's demo, it would have been about 8 or 9 years ago. And his style at the time was this very much of this music nerd, heavily informed, a lot of facts. He sounded a lot like a really great storyteller. Sounded like a young Alan Cross, right? Grew up in Southern Ontario, so it would totally make sense that that was the guy that he grew up listening to. But in the last like 10 seconds of the demo, he did this incredibly odd, weirdo phone thing. And that's what I honed in on. And it was just like, what is that? And he explained, well, that's something I've been experimenting with, but I don't get a lot of opportunities to do at the station I'm currently working for. And I was like, well, if you want to come here, that's the guy I want on the air most of the time. You know, this music knowledge guy, we'll sprinkle him in, but let's make the main ingredient that. And that, you know, goes demo to demo. You know, you're just looking for that one thing that you think will benefit your station, you know, in the best way.
In just a second, Terry DeMonte, who works at Shome 97.7 in Montreal, well, he spent 4 years in Calgary from 2008 to 2012, doing mornings on Q107. We'll see if Christian Hall can recognize the voice of this morning competitor from years gone by. And yes, I am always recording conversations, because you never know when it makes for great podcast audio.
Imaging and production for radio made easy from Megatrax Production Music. Add a sense of British flair to your productions with London's No Sheet Music. From the team behind Wise Buddha, No Sheet Music are musicians and music fans. It's as simple as that. Their albums range from contemporary to classical, orchestral to electronic, and they're always usable and sonically excellent. Don't miss the hottest sounds by adding Deep East music to your deal. Music from Deep East elevates a story and amplifies a message with a serious buzz. Always fresh and intuitive, and of course, the highest quality, they've always got their ears to the ground for the latest worldwide trends. Head on over to Megatracks.com or call us at 818-255-7100 for your music licensing requests. That's Megatracks.com.
I don't know what kind of ship he runs, but they do a nice job. I always, you tell them that. I always listened to them when I was in the car in Calgary because they have up-and-coming talent. They hired a lot of young people. It sounded to me like Christian gave them some lanes to travel in, you know? He didn't keep them in a box.
Do you know who that is?
Is that Terry?
It is.
Okay. Go pick him. And it's very true. It's sort of what we strive for. The clip reflected on Jock sort of having a couple lanes to drive in, and then we're not keeping anyone in a box here. And that is, at its core, what Everyday Part on X is about. I'm not interested in anybody here playing it safe and sound. You know, it's an alternative as a format, so you're given this audience that is fully prepared to be delivered new things in the musical sense. So why not try and give them new things in the talent sense as well? So for Jocks, if they want to try something crazy and new, I really don't care if they shit the bed and do a bad break. I'd rather them try it and fail than sit on it and never give it a shot. But if it works, that's where the magic is, and then you build off of that, and then you create for what I think is a really good sort of cornucopia of personalities on X. Every show is incredibly different from the next, but are all very unique and engaging in their own way.
You know, a lot of PDs will say that, but then they don't necessarily back them up. But you actually keep an all-night show still, and a lot of radio stations don't have that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's definitely a luxury a lot of stations don't have. I'm a big believer in having we have a full-time swing position. So it'd be great to say I have overnighters on 7 nights a week, but it's 3 live overnights a week, and then 4 of them are jukebox. And that's just the sort of financial restraints. I have a hard time hiring just a weekender in a city like Calgary. It's not cheap to live here. I couldn't imagine anyone, you know, living on their own, working a Saturday and Sunday only. They're going to have to get a second job, and I want their focus to be on this job. So we've been able to construct a weekend gig that is also a full-time gig because it's 5 shifts a week, and that involves 3 overnights. And I've told everybody who's ever had that swing jock shift, because it is obviously the most junior on-air position on the station, that those midnight to 5 a.m. shifts you're doing, that is complete freedom trail. Like, just go crazy. Anything you've ever wanted to try, give it a shot between midnight and 5. And when you try it, all I ask is you shoot me an email saying, hey, I did something for the first time at 2:15, and I can just jump into the logger the next morning and listen to it. And I'm anything but. I'm incredibly honest with my jocks, and I'll let them know whether I think there's something there or to never do it again, or give them a different angle to try it at. But it really is a nice little playground for a junior jock to try and spread their wings. Because a lot of them are coming from their first jobs where they are, unfortunately, in that box. They're here to not live inside that box.
I was in Calgary last November and spent a whole weekend listening to the radio station. Your station was, it was November. You guys were having a Christmas party in November. Congratulations on getting that done and out of the way early, by the way.
Right.
How does the station manage to sound and stay so hip? Because I think that really has a lot to do with why millennials are going to want to work for your station. You know, you can work for Spotify. That's a hip brand. But mm-hmm. X92.9 is incredibly hip. I listen to it. There's cool jocks and there's great music. And the sound is really, really nice, too.
Well, thanks.
What else am I missing?
I don't really think you're missing much. I think the fact that the staff doesn't talk to the millennials the way they think they should talk to millennials, they just talk to them because they are millennials, has a lot to do with it. There's a no bullshit filter, I feel, on X. You know, the people on the air at X are the exact same people off the air. There's no phoniness, and I believe that most people can detect that, but I think millennials are extra aware of how driven the world is to engage them, whether it's through advertising or through programming, and they're all very guarded against just jumping, you know, headfirst into everything. You know, if anyone's listening and doesn't realize that millennials are the largest generation on the planet right now and they're the biggest influencers on the planet, they should probably Google millennials and figure it out. So if for the health of not only of X, but, you know, the industry, you know, these millennials are now in their mid-30s, and for stations that are targeting 25-54 as the messiah demo, they're taking up a bigger chunk of it every single year. So you just can't hope they're going to turn into radio lovers. You have to engage them right away. So I think the fact that we're hitting their sweet spot musically with our blend of, you know, new and old alts, and we're taking these chances and we're engaging them in the way we chat on air with our hosts, and when we're out and about, you know, nothing makes me happier than seeing a listener approach our jocks out and about and having no fear factor whatsoever of walking up and talking to them. That means the jocks are doing their job at sounding like themselves and being incredibly approachable. It can be daunting walking up to anybody and introducing yourself for the first time, but when I see that happening with my staff when they're whether they're at the pub or whether they're at a concert, I know that, okay, you know, these guys are doing their job in engaging these people to the point where there's no fear and the guard is down and they feel like welcomed at our table.
Well, Christian, it's a fantastic story. It really is. And just like that, it's 10 years. I can't believe 10 years went by so quickly.
I'm all over that sentiment. It's the longest gig I've ever had. I hadn't been at a station for more than 3 or 4 years, let alone a decade. I really, you know, can't imagine not working anywhere else. It really is a treat of a radio station to be at and to be in this environment of creativity and as a PD, programming freedom to take some risks and to do stupid shit and realize that it's just one day of book. Even if it's something that might be poisonous, it's worth doing because of the overall sort of impact or you know, on a corporate sense, a brand statement that you're making as a radio station. Yesterday, we did an hour of Tool and then even Noon and another hour of Tool in the top six because six songs could take up an hour. Tool is not a massive priority band anymore for X. And maybe, I haven't even looked at the dailies yet, but maybe those hours yesterday suck. But we're an alternative station. And the band just played in town for the first time in a decade, so we're going to recognize that. And if it meant risking our audience for a couple of hours, then so be it. But if it meant making a massive impact on some hardcore fan that sit and listen to the radio for the whole hour and just realize what a great hour of music that was, that trumps it every time.
I think that's a very important point to just, you know, screw the dailies, forget the hour, and turn off your PPM in your head and gain a little bit of stationality in that time.
Yeah, it's important, right? It's not something you want to do every single day, obviously, but, you know, to sacrifice a day for the greater good isn't going to impact it. You know, you're rated every single day. You know, 13 weeks of numbers is 91 days. You shit the bed on one of those 91 days, it doesn't mean the book is going to be terrible. We learned that when we did the Apocalypse, X-Pocalypse, where we played End of the World as You Know It, every, you know, for 13 hours straight. You know, we were sitting around, I think, a 4.5 high four share as a station on the dailies, and the next day came out and we were like a low four. It's just like, well, that wasn't much of an impact, but look at all of the chatter we created for the radio station. Look at all of the, you know, free promo we grew from it, and everyone was talking about us yesterday and nobody else. So that was totally worth it, and we'd do it again tomorrow if the opportunity presented itself.
Christian, thank you very much for joining us on the Sound Off Podcast.
No worries, man. Thanks for the invite.
The Sound Off Podcast with Matt Kundle.
And not lost on us is the fact that this is episode 52, which marks a year of the Sound Off Podcast. We never planned to get this far, but we do have some plans to celebrate our first birthday. For instance, there's pizza and beer in the boardroom. More to come on our first birthday soon. Evan, my good man, let's open one up. And that's the podcast for this week. My thanks to Evan Sierminski for convincing me to hire him back at episode 5, and to Lauren Siddle for convincing me that the Sound Off Media Company needs a social media division. See ya!
The Sound Off Podcast. The Sound Off! was produced by Evan Cerminski and recorded in the master studio of mattkundlevoice.com. Please rate and review episodes. It will help others find the show. To advertise on the podcast, email soundoff@mattkundle.com or download a rate card from the website and follow us and like us wherever great social media content is shared.
Let's check in with the Mayans, those crazy agrarian peoples of equatorial Earth. Here they are now, growing maize and squash in the fertile soils of the open plain. But watch out, here comes a jaguar. Oh no, killed again. It'll be another 1,200 years before these master farmers perfect the skill of big cat hunting. Mayan News, brought to you by the Back Alley. Come join us tonight for the end of the world party.
X92.9.
It's said that the more time you have to invest, the greater the return. Well, guess what? Kids have the most time if we learn to invest early. That's why I created the Cash Kid Podcast, where I teach kids and some adults financial skills they need to know on how to earn, save, and invest their money. Join me on this journey as we interview experts and explore topics that allow you to grow your money as kids. This podcast will help you become the money expert among your family and friends. Just remember, anyone can be a cash kid. You just have to learn how to become one. Get ready to grow your financial knowledge and your wallet with the Cash Kid Podcast.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all had.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.